Hello, welcome back, friends. We are the Vassals of Kingsgrave, and here we are with another edition of SoccerCast. I am your host, Pops, or Noah in real life, and I'm joined by my wise and whimsical duo, Bina.
Hey guys, 46 years of hurt never stops me dreaming.
And Ding.
I'm just vibing now.
The quarterfinals are over, and there are just four teams remaining. We had some surprises, some excitement, and plenty to discuss. So without further ado, let's get into it, and where else to start but with England versus France, and the news that the only thing coming home with the lads is a cat called Dave. Now, I feel like we must warn our viewers at home, given that England are out, regular club football biases will seep in heavily throughout the rest of this podcast. And that means slating anyone but Bukayo Saka and blaming them entirely for the failure to bring home a trophy. But anyway, let's get into it.
I mean, I think that's just fact. I don't think we should blame ourselves for that.
I don't have any club allegiances to any London club. I think all of you, every single one of you is trash. You all suck. So have at it.
Well, let's share the scoreline for any of you living under a rock. It was England 1 and it was France 2. I mean, let's start with the build up and pregame. It was all about, or at least anyway, over here on BBC, and it was all about Walker versus Mbappe and how this was the battle and the other 20 players didn't matter. It was just Walker versus Mbappe and that would decide the tie.
And it did, didn't it? Because they were so busy marking Mbappe that the other guy got through open space. I mean, it's what always happens. Even with us, like, everyone just tries to mark and foul Saka because they're so scared of him. And then other people make hay. I think we were the victims of our own fear of Mbappe because we didn't fully control the territory of the entire pitch. It's classic psychological. And we did it to ourselves. I'm not even sure the French did it, frankly. I think we just did it to ourselves. And that's exactly what I mean about Southgate. He's just not good enough to see the meta picture. He's just Captain Obvious.
Walker beat Mbappe. Congratulations.
Yeah, but it didn't matter because then other people scored. I know. Like, I mean, I know. It just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's absolutely irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. I think the only time it came into play was actually on their first goal. And while Mbappe wasn't heavily involved, he, you know, played a few passes, pulled a few defenders out of place. Ultimately, it's a great finish from Tchouaméni, who did us a favour and, you know, comically fouled Saka up the other end with a really lazy tackle. But it was a good goal from him. Hard to argue that it wasn't well deserved, don't you think?
The hard thing to, I think, to accept, I think, as for the England fans, is that they are the better team in this game. By a large margin, they're the better team in this game.
Who is?
For most, England. For most of
no,
this game.
Absolutely, 100%. In this game, yeah. In this game. But on paper, France were the better team, right?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. Sure.
I don't know, actually. Really. I don't know.
The thing is, okay, in terms of sheer talent, you're never going to beat. But in terms of team organization, in terms of familiarity, in terms of experience, I think England does have the advantage over France in this game, and it actually showed because Upamecano had a horrible game. Theo Hernandez had a horrible game. And England should have been able to take better advantage of that. And they created a lot of chances. The real difference maker for France on this day is Hugo Lloris, who made a huge bunch of huge saves in the first half.
Yeah, that's true. He had a great game.
Yeah. And I know you guys are going to slate Tottenham player, so I have to get this out there now. A Tottenham player was one of the main reasons England lost this game on France's side.
Of course, because they fucked over Brazil and then they fucked over England. That's what they do.
I'll go over that later. I mean, he played a great game. I think you can get into the second half if you want.
Well, just on their goal, I think, try and do this vaguely chronologically. There was a foul in the build-up. I think it was, shockingly, Saka that got fouled. Was it Tchouaméni or someone broke forward? Was it even Upamecano? Broke forward with the ball after fouling Saka. Yeah, and then lays it off to Mbappe, who sort of you know, plays a couple passes and, you know, eventually finds its way to Tchouaméni and they score. But was that a foul? And, you know, there was a lot. Lee Dixon on the English commentary was absolutely convinced. I think maybe I'm not, because I see Saka get fouled like that every single week, 4 or 5 times, and referees just never see it.
Saka is the most fouled player in the Premier League. And therefore, no surprises, he's the most fouled in our World Cup squad. I'm not, you know, and I think in a way, I think actually, Pops, I think it was something that should have been punished. And the fact that we're even questioning it just shows how like dulled we've become to injustice being done against Saka. Because any other player, we wouldn't even be questioning it. That was so clearly should have been given.
I don't know. I don't know what the referee standards are. Usually, my team is in a championship. I'm used to prep. 20, 30 years ago, this is the standard of refereeing everywhere. Now it's a little bit hyper-focused around sort of these sort of hard tackles. Like they're hyper-focused around sort of specific players because teams know they can't get away with it all the time. So they pick their spots in doing it. And unfortunately, who happens to be the most dangerous player on England's side? It happens to be Bukayo Saka, so they targeted him. Is that fair? No. But that's also the life in which a lot of top players have to live. Neymar, before, well, his team, we'll talk about his team, but Neymar also is actually, I think, I believe the most fouled players in his entire tournament. That's what he has to deal with his entire career. Yeah, players that runs at defenses and dribble well, that unfortunately is usually a fact. The defenders are not as good, so they hit you down.
Yeah, just their carriers of the ball. It always reminds me of Jack Wilshere when he played for Arsenal in England. Yep. And they invite that sort of physicality, you know, because they frustrate players and the only way they can do it is to foul them because they have such great feet and close control. And actually, Bukayo Saka he's got, just like Raheem Sterling, his lower half of his body is incredibly strong. How he can hold off massive defenders and still bring the ball down under control and turn or lay it off. You know, it's exceptional talent that he has. I mean, you mentioned he's, you know, I haven't looked at who's the most fouled player in the Premier League recently. I would not be surprised if it was him. Another player is Wilfried Zaha, actually I remember reading an article and he was the most fouled, you know, just kicked off the pitch year after year. And it's because a narrative comes up around these players that they're soft, that they dive, that they fall, but actually it's a part of their game. They attract more fouls.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look at what used to happen to Maradona at his peak. He was absolutely decapitated when he went to Napoli, right? For that reason, people are scared. They go in. They leave something on you because they can't actually defeat you in open play.
For Saka, he has to learn. He has to learn to maybe not dive, but to learn what Sterling has learned, to adapt to this sort of stuff.
Should Saka have been taken off and Sterling put on, given everything Sterling had gone through and the fact that he's just less talented?
I don't know about less talented. But mentally, I don't know if Sterling was ready. He didn't do anything in the second half.
No, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it'll be great if Gareth Southgate could trust some other players, because his substitution has been very routine.
Yeah, I mean,
those substitutions were just for the substitutes for the sake of substitutes. Anything England did well was down the wings mostly. We absolutely lost the midfield battle. Well, Henderson.
I think you were winning the midfield battle. The problem is you were tiring along the wings. Or maybe you want to actively ask friends some questions. Okay, I don't think Henderson played bad. I think Henderson actually played one excellent. And other than the Tchouaméni goal, I don't think England's midfield put a foot wrong. The problem is, but eventually you need to start actively asking questions instead of reacting to what the other side is doing. France made one single change this entire game, one substitution. Yeah. You're not asking them any questions if that's what happened. And then the problem is Gary Southgate. I think he set up the team fine, and they played fine. But eventually, once you get to around 50, 60 minutes, you need to start thinking actively. Okay, this is sort of, we're doing better, but this is the scoreline isn't changing. How do we ask more questions? But he's not that kind of coach.
He's not that kind of coach. No. He's not good enough. Just not good enough. I have to say, Arsenal Twitter was on fire. Emperor Bumblewank retweeted someone. He said, Saka is being sabotaged. Walker is absolutely terrified to get out of his box. And the right centre mid is the worst player in England history, so he's offering nothing in possession. This is the quintessential aura performance from Mbappe. Hasn't even had to do much, but he's totally stifling our game in possession and then drew four players for their goal. Thoughts and feelings on that?
Yeah, Saka doesn't start every single game for Southgate since the Euros if he's not Gareth Southgate's favorite player, right? Jack Wilshere wishes he was his Bukayo Saka. James Maddison wishes he's Bukayo Saka and can even get a game. James Maddison has one single cap in his entire England career, and he's older than Bukayo Saka by several years. Southgate loves Saka. It's just, he has a routine. He's almost machine-like in a way he makes substitutions. And I don't think the overloading on Mbappe is the problem. It's the fact that you guys ignored Griezmann at key junctures.
Yeah,
and yeah.
And the Giroud goal. I mean, do you want to get to the penalty first and then we go to Giroud goal?
So the first goal, England's only goal, a foul on Saka, and Kane steps up and dispatches it as we have come to expect. Certainly the bookies, at least, if you were putting a bet on this, the odds on Kane scoring a penalty are very, very favourable, put it that way. And then, you know, it's game on. It's game on 1-1, just at the start of the second half, around the 51st minute. Perfect time, energises the team, here we go. And then let me see when he brought Saka and Foden off, which just felt absolutely bizarre to me. Let's have a look here.
It just did not feel like the right decision. That was a lot further on. I feel that was
79th minute. That was after Giroud had scored.
Yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, after the Giroud goal. Of course, we had the Maguire header, which actually, I mean, it just kissed the outside of the post. Yep. Jesus, that was a good header from a long ball from Henderson, I think it was, actually.
Yeah.
Bellingham had chance, you know, on the volley from a free kick. I think it sort of came to him and he just lashed it. Great save from Lloris again. And then there was, I remember Rabiot going through. Might have been the first half. Maybe I'm getting mixed up. But Rabiot goes through, and this was when I kind of thought, where the hell is Declan Rice in our midfield?
Declan Rice was all over the place the rest of the game, and he was probably your best player.
So, yeah, well, aside from Bukayo Saka, but yeah.
No, well, sure. Okay. But so, I don't know. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, I think positives to take from this, Foden, Saka and Bellingham are the future of England.
Yeah,
all exceptional players, exceptional players, and they're all 19 to 21. You know, maybe Foden's 22. I'm not sure. And they've got, and you know, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about when young players have so many World Cups ahead of them. You know, they finish this, they've done well, they've impressed, and they think, well, you know, I've got another three to go. I think they're all probably thinking that. So it doesn't weigh on them as much as it might do for a Henderson or a Harry Kane or a Maguire, for that matter, who, you know, probably won't be starting at the next World Cup, any of them.
I do feel bad for Harry Kane. I know he's a spud because he's got no chance to redeem himself. I mean, maybe the Euros, but you can't see him playing in the next World Cup. I feel bad for him.
I mean, my mind instantly went selfishly to thinking maybe he'll never score a penalty again and this will just cripple his confidence.
I mean, isn't he one of our best penalty takers? Like, statistically, he is very good, isn't he? As I hate it.
Yes, ever, I think.
Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, I just feel bad for him. I mean, not that bad.
Yeah.
But look, ooh, Ben White's back with the squad. That's good news.
Well, we had a good header from Giroud. I think he had another chance earlier in the game where he digs out these headers. He sort of stooped down and directed it. And astonishing that he's still got that. He cements his place as France's all-time top scorer. Congratulations. But then we had, a very nothingy final few minutes. Sorry, I'm getting all confused. We had the goal and then we had pretty much straight away after we had the penalty.
Right.
And then it was nothing.
Well, the last minute there's the Rashford free kick, which didn't miss by much either. Again, it's important to point out England played better And England, sure, okay, you can. The refereeing was questionable. They didn't give you many times when there were fouls against England. He didn't give it. Sure, but he gave England the important ones, the one, the two penalties and the free kick right outside of the box at the end, at the very end. He gave you guys that. So again, and the refereeing wasn't good, but you had enough. You had enough on set pieces, which is the favorite way you guys like to score. All right.
We can't buy a set piece goal.
Right. These things come and go. And look, the hardest part, I think, to evaluate a coach and evaluate a team on it is in these sort of games in which the team played well but lost anyways. And I'm sure the English media is right now going through all sorts of permutations about exactly why their team can't get over the hump or whatever. But you're playing a World Cup against team. By the time you get to quarterfinals, you're playing against teams that are exceptional. And sometimes
I've got no problem losing to France. I think they're the better team. I did have objections to some of the refereeing decisions, which I felt were adding up to that, but I'm not bitter. I mean, I think, you know, like you say, there are no bad teams at this stage. So I think it's, you know, I'm proud of the boys and we live to fight another day.
Sometimes you just lose these.
Yeah, exactly. It could easily have gone the other way. Would have been lucky.
I think final thing I'll say on this. Agreed. No shame in going out to the world champions and potentially the eventual world champions. Who knows? Although I think we're all Team Morocco.
Please not the last World Cup final once again.
Oh, Team Croatia. Croatia could be fun. But anyway, we'll get to that. But on England, I wasn't too upset. You know, it was a good game. It's been a good tournament. I don't think Southgate should be sacked. But I think now every single tournament, I'm going to not be able to help myself but look at what the fans are saying online. And I think you said it in our chat, Bing, just ignore Twitter, which I don't even have Twitter. But yet again, English fans showing themselves to be absolute vile human beings by sending messages to Bukayo Saka. And then there was a tweet, I think you shared, Bina, the flip side of that, you know, the condolences being shared to Harry Kane. So
I don't even know if those are real English fans. I think the problem is when you're on Twitter, you have all these sort of people who are just
racist cunts.
Yeah. And they're not, made some of them not even from England. They just, they it's the World Cup. They want to jump in and get whatever clout they have within the echo chambers. And most of them, and to them, that's apparently an acceptable way to do so.
Yeah. See an opportunity.
Anyways.
Well, yeah, awful, awful, awful. But yeah, fair play to the lads.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't need to be ashamed of how we went out. We played our hearts out. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. So would you sack Southgate? Final thoughts?
No, I think he should already take us to the Euros, but I think we need to think about transitioning thereafter, just because there's a limit to how long you can take that pressure. But I think these players, especially the young'uns, they clearly really trust him and that counts for a lot. So I would definitely let him do the Euros for sure.
Definitely. And then the Nations League and whenever that bollocks tournament is.
Should we move on to the players that should be ashamed of themselves? Argentina, Netherlands?
Yeah, that was my next choice. We had the Argentinians versus the Dutch. It was a 2-2 in normal, well, after extra time, and it went to penalties. And the Argentinians progressed and showed themselves to be pretty disgusting human beings in the way they rubbed it in the Dutch's face.
I will say that the Netherlands were equally not being very nice to the Argentinians either. This is a game that is now apparently now known as Battle of Lucille. Over the fact that there were 18 cards in this game.
Including a retrospective red. I mean, there were so many yellows. I was just amazed no one got sent off during actual open play. I mean,
did you know that the Argentinians' assistant coach, Walter Samuel, got a yellow card?
Really?
Did you know that Wout Weghorst, when he came on, he was carrying a yellow card onto the field when he subbed in?
That's hilarious. If you didn't watch it, just YouTube it. The end punch up where basically I think an Argentinian kicks a football at the Dutch and they just come on the team and it's just a massive fucking punch up. It's just the football wasn't good, the spirit wasn't good, and the punch up wasn't good, and the whole thing was just an embarrassment to world football as far as I'm concerned. They should all go and stand in the corner and think very carefully about what they've done.
Look, we can talk about the Argentinians and their lack of whatever. Sure, whatever. But you have to know this is a pattern of the Netherlands. The last time in which there was a battle of anything was the Battle of Nuremberg, which was also the Netherlands were involved. That was a game in 2006 in which they played Portugal, in which I think it was 16 cards that were produced that game, including four reds.
Wow.
And then 2010, they infamously, the final with Spain, infamously, Nigel de Jong's karate kick into, what was it, Xabi Alonso's stomach.
It was.
I know you, in our previous pod, you mentioned how, Netherlands, total football. Netherlands haven't been about total football for a very long time. For the last 20 years, it's more about X-rated WWE or mixed martial arts football.
Wow.
That's what the Netherlands really is, especially when they play against better teams.
Yeah, maybe we need a bit more of that, a bit more fucking fight. Yeah,
maybe. They came back against Argentina as well.
We've got to talk about the comeback.
That's the first mention. Messi's goal, which was, that's what what you see as an act of God, because it's undefensible. Your defenders in perfect positions. He just sees somehow a hole that doesn't even exist and passes it through it, and their right back comes rushing through and scores a perfect finish. That's an undefensible goal.
Mm. And then the Dutch needed something Bergkamp-esque to stay in.
And they actually went to something more, let's say, akin to traditional English Bolton, Sam Allardyce. That's, I think, where they went for inspiration, because they bring up two giant dudes, throw it up there with Virgil van Dijk and start lobbing long balls. And Argentina can't defend this shit. It was hilarious to watch in person.
I mean, what does that say about their chances versus the pretty, you know, impressively tall Croatian team?
It'll be a problem. It'll definitely be a problem.
With Luka Modric just sitting in the number six role, just pinging balls into the box, I think.
We definitely will have a problem with Croatia, but we'll get there.
It's going to be enjoyable, that one, I must say. But
everyone's Team Croatia on this one, I think.
I don't really care either way at this point. But I think Wout Weghorst, he is not Dennis Bergkamp. Do not equate this guy to Dennis Bergkamp. Wout Weghorst washed out of Burnley.
He's still at Burnley. He's on loan at Besiktas.
He's on loan at Besiktas. Yeah.
He's still at Burnley. I'm pretty sure he scored more goals in this World Cup than he has for Burnley. Something ridiculous like that.
He scored an equal amount. He scored two goals for Burnley.
Brilliant.
One final thing on this is that free kick for their second goal. And me and my mate were both half expecting England to do the same when Marcus Rashford had got that free kick right at the death. Almost the exact same position, the exact same time of the game. And, you know, obviously he hits it over and the Dutch very cleverly pass it to Weghorst, who smashes it in the back of the net. And
I'll say Emilio Martinez, he's kind of useless throughout the actual regulation, but becomes some sort of walking god in penalties and acts like
it. Yeah, he knows it. He knows he's got some sort of superhuman ability. I think he's the last keeper for Arsenal that saved the penalty was Martinez. But I digress. So two more games to rattle through. Let's drink some more tears of fun and joy, and let's talk about Brazil versus Croatia. 0-0 after regular time. Neymar scored a fantastic goal. Think it's all over, and the Croatians have something else to say.
Bruno.
And then we end up with another penalty shootout.
Croatia's goal was their first shot on target the entire game.
It absolutely was. It absolutely was. Although they had more possession than Brazil.
They do have more
shockingly.
Possession. Isn't that shockingly when you consider who their midfielders are?
Well, I guess Brazil was just attack and lose the ball, and then Croatia very slowly build up to a corner or a shot off target. Can't say I'm too sad to see Brazil go out, I must say.
I was sad. I do enjoy watching them play.
At the end of the day, you don't have a divine right to win sides.
Yeah.
And the Croatia, Brazil is better than Croatia on paper. They should win this game. on paper, our predictions that Brazil should go through, it's not wrong. It's just you have to perform. You have to score the goals and you have to perform. They scored a goal. That should have been enough. Croatia wasn't really creating any real chances. But in the 117th minute, you're still for some reason committing full on to attack. Croatia counters with a 4-on-4 in your own end, and your defensive midfielders, Fred and Casemiro, are not tracking back. What is that? That's just laziness. And that's just thinking, oh, the game's already wrapped up. We can continue to punish Croatia. They're there for a reason. They're not going to stop fighting. This is a team that never stops fighting.
Complacency has been punished in this World Cup. And you look at Croatia, you think that's going to go to extra time, and then they'll fancy their chances on penalties.
They have not, Croatia, since 2018, the last World Cup, they have not played a game in the knockout rounds of the World Cup that didn't go into extra time. This is their zone.
It was against England, wasn't it? They beat us in... Oh, no, they beat us in extra time.
Yep, extra time. The last game in which it didn't go to extra time was when they lost to France in the final. Every other knockout round game was extra time. And they won every single one of them.
Yeah, you underestimate them. That's why I'm Team Croatia, because I've liked for many years Luka Modric, and if by some fluke they won the World Cup before he retired, that would please me. I just really like him.
Yeah, that would please me too. I have a soft spot for them. I love their kit.
He's given a lot to world football, so a bit like Messi, actually. I wouldn't mind if he lifted the ultimate trophy.
No, not at all. I'd prefer it to Messi.
Yeah,
because he's almost... He's almost the understated, the world-class player who rare. You know, everyone knows he's that quality, but I guess because he's not, you know, scoring 45 goals a season like Ronaldo or Messi or Salah or, you know, all of these players, he kind of maybe falls a bit behind people's expectations. But, I mean, what he does for his country and Real Madrid as well, to be fair, is nothing short of exceptional. I would love that. A Croatia-Morocco final would just be perfect. No losers in that, in my book.
Josko Gvardiol is, the defender of this entire tournament at this point, since Croatia is guaranteed to play 7. That guy is 20 years old, and he's playing like Prime Maldini.
Exceptional. He's good. Definitely one that will cost somewhere in the region of 100 million.
Yep.
If he ever goes. All right. Well, with the last few minutes, let us touch upon our everyone's favorite underdogs and drink some more tears of a now ex-international footballer.
We don't know that yet.
Oh, but...
Well, I was talking about Pepe.
we absolutely don't know about that yet. That guy could continue. That guy played well.
Yeah.
In this tournament.
The man's 38. He needs to know when to hang up his boots.
I don't know. Next see him again.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. 42-year-old Pepe and 41-year-old Ronaldo. We have Morocco.
Yep.
With a smash and grab, 1-0. Classic 26% possession, incredibly tight defensively, hit them on the break, and still no one except Morocco can score against Morocco. Nobody,
yep.
Not a single team, not Spain, not Belgium, not Portugal. It's quite incredible.
That's where the own goal happens.
the goal for this game. If you haven't seen it, listener, rewatch the goal for this. The man, I don't know if any of you, hopefully you're all remember the original, the best Space Jam, where Michael Jordan leaps from one side of the basketball court to the other to score the winning basket. And this was Michael Jordan-esque. He just rose above everyone. The goalkeeper's at full stretch and he rises above his arms to knock this in. If they don't build a statue of En Nesyri in Marrakesh, I will be shocked.
Oh, they're going to have to build a lot of statues. Because, a lot of their players played out of their mind. Again, with this Moroccan team, this is not individuals who are stepping out. This is a whole team playing in tune to a degree that none of those players have ever played this well in their entire careers. Like, you've watched some of those players play in the Premier League before. Sofiane Boufal. If you've been watching some Serie A, you probably watch a lot of Sofiane Amrabat. They're pretty good players. They're decent, right? You've heard of those players before, but they're not this good until now. And like individually, like Ziyech, of course, Ziyech has once upon a time was a star-level player that Chelsea have since ruined, as they like to do with attack-minded players in general. But he is playing well in this World Cup. Hakimi hasn't put a foot wrong this entire tournament. That entire left side is just, there's nothing going on other than Hakimi running up and down. The other side is just not, it's not happening. But like this is a team that, of course, the keeper. The keeper is a maniac, right? It's like the guy just smiles at you whenever you try to shoot at him. Yunus Bono is incredible in this tournament. Although he has been very good in club football as well. It's just,
yeah,
this is a team. Go ahead, sorry.
No. Absolutely agreeing with you. Their keeper Bono is very good. I'd be surprised if someone doesn't snap him up.
He plays with something. If you want to snap him, it's going to be expensive.
But you mentioned Hakimi, and without trying to sound too Alan Shearer, it's going to be all about Hakimi versus Mbappe.
Oh, God.
And the battle there. But no, seriously, he gets forward a lot more and is definitely less disciplined than Kyle Walker on that side. So it could be exactly the opposite. It could be, does Mbappe need to drop back to nullify, you know, a Ziyech, Hakimi kind of doubling up down there, the Moroccan right-hand side, which is where they're very dangerous.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to win that match?
I can see Morocco doing it.
I can see Morocco doing it. They haven't conceded a goal except for an own goal or something. I mean, I don't think they've conceded, have they?
Yeah, no, they haven't conceded.
It's
very hard to keep playing this way. And absolutely, well, perfectly in tune defensively. Because you're just getting hammered over and over again. You have to just keep bouncing them off over and over and over again. And those players...
Well, they lost a couple players, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. The entire central defense might not be there. Starting central defense might not be there for France. That said, the replacements have played excellent. So who knows? It's... At some point, I don't like to call them Cinderella stories because they're there for a reason. They have enough talent to get pretty far. But just playing in this style in which you get 25% possession, you have to play almost perfect defensively, pretty much perfect defensively. You have to hope you can nick a goal on the other side somehow, in some way, magically. And this is not Australia in which those goals are scored by pure magic. Morocco has talent to manufacture a goal or two, but they just, it's the margin of error is very, very small, very, very thin. They can do it. France is not as good as it was 4 years ago. The defenders can be shaken enough to create those, to give Morocco those chances, but it's very, very thin line of that they're walking on. They've been walking past those fine lines against Spain and Portugal, and they somehow are here again. So they can do it, but it's just going to get harder.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I said whoever wins England France will go through to the final. I think, to be honest, whoever wins this, France Morocco, will probably win the whole thing. I can see Morocco doing Croatia. I could see Morocco doing Argentina, quite frankly.
Yeah,
we all remember what happened when they played Saudi Arabia. Could see France doing either of them as well. So this will be the game to watch.
France.
Is it their former colonial overlords as well? So there might be a bit of spice.
Which we'll see how that changes the equation as well. So Spain and Morocco have their ton of their own history as well. So
yeah, less so. A friend of mine was trying to educate me on it, so I will not do his teachings any failure. But apparently the Moroccans were invited over. Or at least the one of their dynasties to help support. But anyway, I digress.
Anyway, so yeah, now final predictions.
Morocco to go through and win.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, let's do it. It's going to be Morocco-Croatia.
Yeah, Morocco-Croatia. And I'd be happy with either to win. I think Morocco will, but I'd love... Actually, you know what? I think Croatia would do it. I think Croatia to win. I'm going to go Croatia.
Be extremely dirty.
God bless him. I'll enjoy that.
I'll be a Debbie Downer and say it's going to be a repeat of France-Croatia. I'd see this stupid final and if France wins another World Cup.
Yeah, back-to-back World Cups. The first time since Brazil, was it? And then I heard that there's the not very well publicized or spoken about Italian team that did it in the 30s when they were very much
Italian team.
Yeah, very much fascists. Yeah, it's been a fun tournament, and we wave goodbye to England, but we look ahead. I think we'll probably do one more of these after the final and have a round up and maybe look back upon some of those stupid predictions we made way back when and see how wrong
Can you imagine France could win this back to back and they're not even full strength?
Yep.
No Pogba, no Kante.
And they're young. You could see them dominating for another 4 years. You could see them doing three back to back.
That's the depressing part.
Well, Giroud won't be around by then. They'll have to find another big man, a beautiful big man.
Oh, they have them already.
Giroud, wow. Well, we should let you go, Noah. This has been fun, but humiliating because we got it so wrong.
We have indeed. We have indeed. All right, yes, I must ask, but thank you for tuning in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host for joining me today and for all your support throughout this this tournament.
Football is the winner.
It certainly is in Qatar.
Because it certainly ain't England. The best bit is when the US fans are chanting to England, we're going to win, we're going to win. And the England fans chant back, we lose to everyone, you ain't nothing special. So much to say about both cultures in that. Anyways, have a good one, guys. No doubt we'll all be on the Discord tonight, live chatting about the semi-finals. Have a good one, Noah. Back to work.
Perfect. Yeah. See you, guys.
Bye.
I can sleep for an hour.